A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll hear about a new fellowship program bringing together recent conservatory graduates to imagine the future of orchestras. The San Francisco Conservatory of Music has joined with the University of Music and Drama Hamburg and the Shanghai Conservatory of Music in this endeavor, and a total of 8 students have been chosen for this first year. I'll speak with Kate Sheeran, Dean and Provost of San Francisco Conservatory, and 2 of the students who are participating. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Michael Tilson-Thomas will step down as music director of the San Francisco Symphony at the end of the 2019-2020 season, bringing to a close a tenure that has spanned a quarter of a century. The symphony said in a statement that Thomas will continue to conduct the orchestra for at least 4 weeks each season, plus special events, in the capacity of music director laureate. The orchestra is planning special recording projects, festivals, and a tour of the U.S. and Europe in the next 2 seasons as it celebrates Tilson's leadership. In the statement, Thomas, who will turn 75 during his last season with the orchestra, said he hopes to shift more of his focus to other creative endeavors. Thomas made his debut with the orchestra in 1974 when he was 29 in a performance of Mahler's Ninth Symphony. He was named music director just over 20 years later, taking up the baton in 1995. The San Francisco Chronicle described his tenure as the most significant chapter in the orchestra's history, citing a shift to including more American music, a broader international reach through tours and broadcasting, and a more prominent standing in the classical music world. The American Repertory Ballet is looking to open its performances to members of the community who might not be able to afford the cost of tickets. Through the new Access Ballet initiative, ARB will partner with various organizations that work with veterans, senior citizens, special needs children and adults, and low-income families to offer tickets to certain performances. In a statement, the ARB said the cost of the tickets are being underwritten by a group of individuals, corporations, and foundations. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. As orchestras experiment with new formats, repertoire, and community engagement programs to reach new audiences, music schools have increasingly been encouraging students to bring their ideas to the table. The San Francisco Conservatory of Music recently joined together with the University of Music and Drama Hamburg and the Shanghai Conservatory of Music to launch a fellowship program that will bring together recent graduates to spend a year performing and trying out different ideas that can be shared with other orchestras and ensembles. The fellowship also has 3 orchestral partners, the Berkeley Symphony Orchestra, the Shanghai Symphony Orchestra, and the Symphoniker Hamburg. The 3-year program is being supported largely by the German government. I spoke with San Francisco Conservatory of Music Dean and Provost Kate Sheeran, who said the program grew out of some existing relationships between the schools and orchestras.
We were approached by the leadership of the Hochschule for Music and Theater in Hamburg about this project. Probably about a year ago, we started to have conversations, and they are looking to have input from recent graduates from music conservatories from each of the 3 continents, from Asia, from Europe, and the U.S., and they have a kind of sister city relationship with Shanghai. So once they talked to Shanghai, Shanghai suggested us, because we also have a similar collaborative relationship with the Shanghai Conservatory and with Shanghai as a city. So that's how the 3 schools kind of came to be in this project. And then Elmar Lamson, who's the president of the music school in Hamburg, and Roland Zalcho, who used to work for the government and now teaches at the Hochschule, spearheaded the project and got the funding, which primarily comes from the German government, to fund this project. So each school has recent graduates who are in the fellowship program. And then each city also has a partner orchestra. So in Hamburg, it's the Symphoniker Hamburg with the Hochschule for Music and Theater. In Shanghai, it's the Shanghai Conservatory with the Shanghai Symphony. And here in the Bay Area, it's the Conservatory, and we're partnering with the Berkeley Symphony, with whom we have a close working relationship. And the students are in Hamburg primarily, and then they'll spend some time in the Bay Area and also in Shanghai. And they're charged with coming up with ideas that can help propel the future of orchestral culture. And that could have anything to do with artistic planning and programming. It could have things to do with education and outreach and engaging with communities. It could have links to government and city structures and things like that in each place, and they have to kind of look at creative ways to address and engage different audiences. The year is planned so that they're in Hamburg primarily, but then they'll be here in January, where they'll do work with the Berkeley Symphony in a side-by-side concert and also do some planning meetings for a concert where they will be featured with members of the Berkeley Symphony in a chamber concert in May. And then after they're here in January, they'll go to Shanghai, where they'll do the same thing. They'll have planning meetings with the symphony for a project with them in June. So they'll be circling the world twice, once in January and once in May and June.
Now, how does this complement or expand upon some of the offerings that San Francisco Conservatory has for students interested in looking at these types of orchestral dynamics?
It complements it very well. It's really in line with a lot of what we're doing, because we have these close links with our artistic partners here in the Civic Center. We have many members of our faculty who are members of the San Francisco Symphony, but it's also connecting with our professional development curriculum and what we have in January, which is winter term, which is really a time for students to try out their own projects and ideas. So this is really an expanded version of those things. The students had to audition as well as write essays to be accepted into this program. So we're really looking for great thinkers as well as great performers. And this gives them a year-long laboratory to collaborate with people from all over the world and kind of connect our cultures that way.
Well, as you mentioned, this was designed to bring together three continents into the research and analysis. Looking at these three different orchestral traditions and cultures, are there ways in which they are similar? And more interestingly, are there ways that they already differ a little bit, which adds a little bit to what these students will have to look at?
Definitely lots of both. I was actually in Hamburg the week before last, visiting the fellows and having some planning meetings with the administration from the schools in Hamburg and in Shanghai. And even in those conversations, it's really interesting. Even though there's so many things that are similar about the education we deliver to our students, there are so many differences. One of the things we talked about is that, of course, we all have high artistic standards, and that's kind of a given and a central starting point. But in each city, the history and the engagement with the different constituencies in our city is very different and at different points. So in Hamburg, it's been a city with such a rich history. Mahler spent time there, Brahms, Bach, everyone. But they also have the Elbphilharmonie there, which is this brand new, futuristic, amazing concert hall that's really helping Hamburg to become a centerpiece in Europe again for orchestral music. And the Symphoniker Hamburg is a central part of that, which is the partner orchestra in that city. In Shanghai, there was a lot of talk about how orchestras and artistic organizations are so closely linked with the government and how that's important as an important piece of the culture there and how that needs to be thoughtfully addressed and respected. That's a lot of the culture in China. Here in the U.S., orchestras are having a lot of talk about engaging with communities that might be working with school-age students or smaller ensembles that might play new music, like Soundbox here in San Francisco, or the ways musicians go out into their community or we bring in different audiences. And so bits of all those conversations are happening in each place, but the focus might shift at any one point for any one of those things to become more or less important. So it's a really interesting challenge to these young musicians to talk to each other about what they think should happen in the future and what of those things are the most important to address first for them.
How do you envision their ideas and information then being disseminated, and who do you see as the audience for receiving some of the insights and information and ideas that they come up with?
There's kind of two levels of this. One will be each year there'll be these culminating projects that happen with the partner orchestras. So we'll see the first of those this year in May and June. And those will happen annually. But Elmar Lamson, who's the president in Hamburg, envisions a large summit at the end of the third year where we would invite cultural leaders from each city and potentially other places and other schools as well, that would involve concerts and panels and a presentation on the findings of the fellows and the research done and the projects that happened. So a larger summit is in the works for the end of the third year.
That was Kate Sheeran, Dean and Provost of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. There are 8 students participating this year, 4 from Hamburg, each hailing from different parts of Europe, 2 from Shanghai, and 2 graduates of the San Francisco Conservatory. Clarinetist Lotte Losink from Houston, who is in the class of 2017, who just graduated, and French horn player Craig Hansen, a 2016 graduate from Reno, Nevada. I reached out to them in Hamburg, where the fellows are spending most of their time, to talk about their hopes for the coming year and what drew them to the program.
I am very interested in how our youth and younger generation is connecting with music that I was brought up with. And this seemed just like a great opportunity to have a whole year dedicated to the research and better understanding of how we can integrate how we perform music to reach more people, more communities, especially different people that haven't been hearing it before. And for me, it's really education-based as well as performance, but I was really drawn to the opportunity because I feel like working with students, I've noticed a disconnect from how I was raised with classical music and how they were. So I thought this was a really great way of just having a year to research and find ways of doing that.
And for me, it's a fairly similar answer. I think that as like a new performing artist that just graduated, I graduated in May of 2016. In our conservatory training, we get a lot of practical, like how to play the instrument and all of those things that make you a great musician. But some things that you discover when you're out of school is this, like, that there's a whole world of other things that need to go into being a professional musician. And this opportunity presents a really interesting way to explore all of those extra things that are more than just playing your instrument. And it's also a really interesting opportunity because it's bringing together people from all over the world with different experiences. So it's a really exciting opportunity for us to not just like be in our like bubble in our one community, but be like more, have like this global community of music. So just explore that idea is really exciting.
Having such a mixed group of students from Germany and from China as well, what are you learning from each other about some of the differences in the way orchestral culture is perceived in each of your cultures?
Yeah, I think actually what we're finding is that there's a lot more similarities than dissimilarities actually in our cultures. There's a lot of like common grounds and common problems. For instance, like we're all really worried about the future of like concert hall orchestral music. Like in Germany and even in Shanghai and in China, we're all very, very interested in how to find opportunities to present classical music to new audiences.
And they're all part of this because not only the conservatories, but the symphonies we're working with all are trying to innovate their concerts. And so they were interested in working on this project and working with us because of this common problem.
Yeah, but some of the dissimilarities are actually like kind of what we think are important and how we want to innovate. In San Francisco, we kind of have this experience with like the San Francisco Symphony Soundbox and some of the things that the San Francisco Conservatory does. For instance, I was part of an opera, Don Giovanni, where they did this really radical staging that seemed very, very avant-garde and different from what's happening in other opera houses and things in the country. But in China, the focus is a lot more in traditional music and traditional presenting the big classics.
And including their Chinese like instruments in the concert halls with the classical music. That's big for them.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, in China, their relationship with Western classical music is kind of this emerging, interesting thing. And they're, right now in their communities, they're trying to bridge this gap between Western culture and their traditional Chinese instruments. And so that's a really interesting kind of conversation that we've been having amongst ourselves. And then from the Hamburg fellows, they're really interested in new music, actually, like experimental electronic music. We have a really great composer that is very interested in sampling and improvisation within like electronic media. So it's a really interesting group of, and sometimes we clash on ideas and sometimes we come together. So it's been a great couple weeks.
Well, it sounds like you've been already covering quite a lot of ground. Are there any one or two things that you've really focused on and that you see, you know, a few months, how that may actually develop into something you can then present to some of the orchestras and even beyond that?
I think actually in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to further dive into our cities and their orchestral culture within that. And so once we all get to talking more and having a better understanding of how those orchestras do things on like all aspects, from auditions to choosing repertoire to like how many people audition for certain spots, and like just all the nitty-gritty parts of these symphonies that we're working with, I think. And then we're gonna create ideas on what we like and dislike about it, and hopefully our concerts and ideas for our concerts in Germany and Shanghai and San Francisco will be different and kind of directed towards what we think about those specific topics that will come up. Hmm. Right now it's still much, we're still talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're still getting used to each other's perspectives.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we've been doing in the last couple of months is just kind of getting used to each other's playing, because we've performed a lot together in the last 2 months, and also just kind of getting used to each other's like musical style and like what our creative approaches are. One thing that I think has been a very interesting exploration and something that will continue to be a topic of conversation is actually less creative than you would think, but all of the like small logistics of concert planning. And what goes into presenting a concert is something that we found some strengths and some struggles in just the last months of just, it's very interesting with three different kinds of cultures and how we conduct business, how we decide what repertoire to play and how we're going to organize rehearsals. And
and something that not all schools do, and we were lucky to have this at the San Francisco Conservatory, were classes on the business side of music and more of the logistical parts to it. And I think that that's not something, well, I think it's becoming more and more common in schools to have these days, but it's not something that we've all had. So some of us feel more comfortable in certain logistical areas than others, just because we've had not even training, but just like a class that helped us understand all of this.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a very eye-opening thing, things that we think are very, like one of the eight of us think would be very obvious about their planning is not obvious to someone else because they've never dealt with it. Because this fellowship is not only about performing and it's not only about researching, we're putting on concerts, including all aspects of that, advertising, social media, all the logistics from like soundboard to lighting to finding venues, like all parts of it. And so this is, it's been just already, it's been eye-opening to see just how we all come at it from different ways and perspectives and understandings of what we need to do.
What would you say is maybe one or two ideas that you've kind of started thinking about that you think would make a big difference to orchestras looking to connect more, either with young people or with broader communities, or even diehard classical music lovers?
It's interesting that you bring up this, the young classical music lovers, because for me, when I was growing up, like Disney's Fantasia was always one of my very, very favorite movies. And it was the first glimpse of classical music that really like got me interested in it and kind of pursued more investigating on like what classical music is, and it led me to the French horn. So to me, I think that there's something very powerful about the combination of like a visual medium to the audio medium. So for me, I think that a big challenge and an opportunity with new audience members is classical music is somewhat of a foreign object right now. It's something that feels like there's like a gate to like understanding it. And I think that one way that we can eliminate this barrier, this gate between the repertoire and the people is this combination of something that that is familiar and is easy to understand with something that is unfamiliar and hard to understand. So I think something like a combination of like visual and audio medium or something like that, I think is a very powerful tool. So things that I'd like to explore more is kind of what are ways that we can get this information, our repertoire, in a package that is something that is a more common language for normal, regular, the layman's person to understand.
Two things that I would really like to see is more, not really like electronics, but visual stimuli, I think, during concerts. Right now you're seeing more and more orchestras doing not only pops concerts, but concerts that go along with movies, like soundtracks. And those are always just so popular to the public. And I think it's because they love seeing something in front of them that connects to the music and themselves. Like they go see movies that they've already seen them, but it's a new experience of witnessing that movie, but also the music that they already know. And I think that's a really great start. And I would just love to see more visual things within the orchestra concert halls, if that's like cameras showing soloists so that the audience has a clear visual like sight of who's playing solos within the orchestras. I know people who hear the sounds and they love them, but they don't know exactly who's playing it. Because, you know, you look at the orchestra and you hear like a trumpet solo, and then there's like a few trumpet players on stage, and you're just like, well, who's playing the solo? And so like having this connection with the audience to show them like who it is and when they're playing, you know, I think that could help as well, just so that visual will help them also hear those sounds and put it together with the instrument itself, which I think is just like an educational tool almost in helping them understand the music. And then I also just think more outreach concerts are very vital, and not just concerts to students or young kids, but to everybody, like very young children, but being like, have the parents come, make it a family thing. I worry that it becomes, the orchestra culture becomes one of older generations feeling like they can't bring their children, and that it's like they're not allowed to go because they won't behave or something like that. And that's so sad, because some of my favorite moments were going to the ballet as a kid and, you know, like everyone seeing the Nutcracker. And thankfully, my parents just trusted us to sit there and be quiet and enjoy the music and the ballet. And had they not done that or thought that I was too young, And I was not always the perfect audience member, I bet. I'm sure at one point I probably was like, oh, I'm bored or something. I don't know. But like allowing that within the concert hall space, just making it a more open environment for everybody. And I think a big part of that just stems with the outreach of like letting people know, like, this is for you. It's not just for one group of people that you might think for, but it's like for everybody. And it's for everyone to enjoy. Don't feel restricted.
As like a topic of conversation that's come up that I think we will explore and kind of work more with is not just the external relationship with an orchestra and its audience, but also the orchestra culture is also an internal thing. So how musicians work together, how musicians interact with their conductor, how the orchestra as a whole interacts with their administration. You know, these things are also big, big questions. I was out of school for a year before I did this fellowship, and often when I would get called to play wonderful sets of music, I would have no idea of the artistic vision of the concert. When you're a freelance musician, they say, hello, Craig, are you available to play on these dates? This is the repertoire, please show up at this time. And there's not as much conversation about the artistic vision of the programming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the musicians and orchestras, I think, don't have the same connection to what the orchestra is doing artistically. And I think that this creates a disconnect from the orchestra to the audience. So if we as the musicians have more of an understanding of why we're playing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony for the 20th time in my career, you know, there's something really valuable about taking a really good look at the internal culture as well.
Like when we went to see the Berlin Philharmonic, the way they interacted with each other on stage during and after the concert was different from what I've seen in orchestra halls and like orchestra symphonies in America. And I'm not saying that for like all orchestras everywhere, but you just saw this connection player to player, and they made it apparent to the audience. I think that that's also really meaningful for them who are listening to them.
That was Craig Hansen and Lotte Losink, graduates of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music and two of eight fellows taking part in the Future of Orchestral Culture Fellowship Program designed by the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, the University of Music and Drama Hamburg, and the Shanghai Conservatory of Music. More information can be found at sfcm.edu, and you can follow the fellows' experiences on Facebook at the FOC Fellows. I hope you enjoy these conversations focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world that I bring you each week on A Tempo. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, now celebrating 35 years on the air, you can go to our website at wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.